This morning, we want to talk about the touch ministry, and I want you to see this thing in all of its excitement and all the fantastic way that God can use this as we begin to break out from beyond the four walls of the church and get out into the community where young people live. The purpose of the touch ministry is very simply this, and that is to put adult leaders of young people, in other words, people in your leadership family, to put adult leaders with young people in touch with high school students in order to share Jesus Christ through personal relationships and personal evangelism. That's the purpose of the touch ministry. Yes. Yes. We'll get to that in just a minute. When I say high school students, I am including junior high students, even including college students. If you want to, you know, you can broaden that out. We'll talk a little about that in a few minutes. Okay, that's the purpose of the touch ministry. Basically, when you get it down in a phrase, it means going where people are. Or another phrase that we've coined is constructively hanging around. I think that pretty well describes what you do when you say, Mona. Just kind of constructively hang around. In other words, you're not wasting time. You're doing something of real value. But it looks like you're just casually loafing around the school or hanging around there. And incidentally, as you get into this, you'll begin to see that as you catch a vision for the touch ministry and as you see the real purpose of it, it'll be important for you to communicate that purpose to some other people in your church, because a lot of times they will not understand. In other words, they can't figure out why you're not in your office from 8 to 5 doing, you know, pushing the papers and making phone calls and that kind of thing, and why you're out there wasting your time on the high school campus just hanging around with kids. I mean, you're just the youth minister, right? So a lot of times you'll have a hard time explaining that to people. And yet it'll be very important for you to see that for yourself, that you're not just wasting your time out there, but that that time is being used in a valuable way to build relationships, constructively hanging around where kids are. Okay, the people to reach in the touch ministry. Who are we trying to get to here? Well, basically we're trying to get to the high school campus and community, or the junior high campus and community, the college campus and community. And the thing I would like for you to see, just as we talked about the other night and alluded to this, that the high school campus, the junior high campus, is probably the greatest mission field in the world today. There is no other time that students will be in a social situation where they're jammed together in such a tight environment, where communication takes place so rapidly, and where kids have more of a sharing of ideas. And also at a time psychologically and spiritually where they're more open to the gospel than any other time in their lives. Now, when Jesus talked about the fields being white unto harvest, I am confident that he had in his mind, his foreknowledge, his ability to look to the future, he had in mind the American high school scene, and that he could really see how white the harvest was in 1977 looking onto the American high school campus. Kids are more open today to the gospel of Christ than any time that I've ever seen in my entire life. And I keep saying that year after year, and yet I keep seeing them being more and more and more open. Last week, hanging around football practice, doing the touch ministry, there were two guys who came up to me on the same day and wanted to know how they could come into a relationship to Jesus Christ. I did not even initiate the conversation. That indicates to me that there is such an openness among high school students that it's really unbelievable. I think the biggest problem is not that high school students are not open. I think the biggest problem is that we're not as open to sharing the gospel with them as they are to receiving it. So I want to challenge us to see what it says there in Matthew 9 when Jesus said, "The fields are white unto harvest. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into the harvest." Now the problem is not that the harvest isn't ripe. The problem is that we don't have laborers. One thing we need is bodies. Just bodies. But not just bodies. We also need to have bodies that are warm spiritually, who are committed to Christ. We also need bodies who are skilled and have the ability to get out there on the campus and around in the high school community and be able to move and function in an adequate, relaxed, confident, authoritative type of way. So what we're talking about here is moving our leadership family out onto the high school campus. You being the one who starts that and then beginning to move people out onto the high school campus and around the high school community so that we're in touch with high school students. Those are the people that we're trying to reach. All right. Another thing that I want you to see here is just the scriptural basis for all this. Let's just look at some of these scriptures. And we can see here that the Bible is full of scripture and principles about the touch ministry. As we look at these principles, let's just look to begin with at Matthew 4:19. Matthew 4:19 says, Jesus said to His disciples, "Follow me, and I will make you to be fishers of men." Now, when you go fishing, men, you understand what it's like to go fishing. You go out there, you get in the boat, you take the boat out, and you sit there in the boat and wait for the fish to jump in, right? I mean, it just doesn't work that way, does it? No, you got to take the pole, and you got to take the line, and you got to get the bait on it, and you got to stick it down the water, and you've got to patiently work to get that fish to bite the bait. And I think that's the way it is in working with high school students. You can't just sit around your office being yoga youth director and waiting for kids to come in to your office to find Christ. It's just not going to happen. The only way that it's going to happen is when you aggressively move out. Aggressively move out. To share the gospel with high school and junior high students. Matthew 4:19. John 1:14 is another clear indication, a clear principle of the touch ministry. Identifying with high school students. You all know John 1:14. And it talks about there how Jesus was the one who came in the form of a human being. And He was full of grace and truth. And we beheld His grace and truth as the only begotten of the Father. He identified God in the form of His Son, Jesus Christ, identified with us as human beings. And in that identification, we could understand who God is. Like Colossians 1:15 says, He was the visible expression of the invisible God. And basically, as Ralph talked about yesterday, we are the Word made flesh. We are the incarnation to most high school students. And the only way that we can possibly do that is by identifying with them where they are. All right, let's look at another one. Luke 15:1-2. Here's what it says in Luke 15:1-2. You just turn over there with me if you don't mind. Here's what it says. It says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Him, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, 'This man receives sinners, and he eats with them.'" People didn't like it because Jesus was involved with people. He was involved with the sinful world. He didn't hide Himself behind a wall or inside some stained glass windows in an office somewhere. He was out getting His hands dirty, dealing with human need and human problems day by day. He was involved. Luke 5:11-16. Beautiful story. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, where it talks about the leper. It says, "And when the disciples left everything and followed Him, and while He was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy, and when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and besought Him, 'Lord, if you will, you can make me clean.' And He stretched out His hand and He touched him. And he said, 'I will, you be clean.'" And the principle that we're looking at here in Luke 5:11-16 is a sensitivity. A sensitivity to people in which we are willing to risk our reputation, which is what Jesus did here, to reach out and touch their lives so that they, in turn, can have their life changed by Christ. All right, another principle is 2 Corinthians 5:20. Well, I think this is one of the most important ones when we're talking about the touch ministry, when we're talking about getting with high school students. Because what this says is, it says we are ambassadors for Christ. And I think a lot of times the greatest problem that you will face in starting the touch ministry on a campus close to you is overcoming the tremendous problem of fear. A lot of you are already thinking about that right now. Well, you know, I'm really kind of scared to go over there where those students are. And yet if you can begin to see yourself not from a fearful point of view of being an outsider that's not wanted, but instead seeing yourself as Christ's ambassador, and as you walk down the halls of that school, as you walk into the principal's office, as you meet faculty and other students, you can walk around that campus and through that campus with a real authority, realizing that whether anybody else understands who you are, what you're doing, you walk down the hall and kids look and they say, who's that weird guy? I mean, he doesn't belong here. Then you can walk down the hall and realize with great authority that you are God's representative there, and whether anybody else understands it or not, you understand it. And you know why you're there. All right? 1 Thessalonians 2:8. I think one of the key principles in the touch ministry is relationships. Relationships. And one of the things that I really would like for you to see as we look at 1 Thessalonians 2:8 is that it's not just a matter of going over and sharing a little booklet with kids, a matter of uninvolvement or lack of involvement with them, but just going over and giving them the gospel and then taking off. It's more than that. Paul says, "And so being affectionately desirous of you, we gave you not only the gospel of God, but also our very own lives." And what he was saying there is, hey, look, we were willing to take our precious time, and I don't know how you are, but the most precious commodity I've got is time. And when I'm willing to say to a high school or junior high kid, I want to take the most precious thing that I have, and I want to give it to you because I care about you, then I think we're getting to the place where we have really earned the right to share the gospel with kids. It's impossible to build a youth ministry, a touch ministry, on the blow-in and blow-out philosophy. It takes time to build relationships. All right? 1 Corinthians 9:22. The principle is that when we're dealing with the touch ministry is all-inclusive. Paul says, "To the weak I became weak, and to the strong I became strong, so that in all ways I might, by any means, I might win some." He was saying, look, I'll do anything to share the gospel of Christ with people. And in the touch ministry, I think we have to identify with a lot of different people. I think we have to be open to a lot of different people that maybe you've never been open to before. We have to begin to, and for some of you who are from further south than where we are right now, we have to begin to take a real honest look. If we're going to be all-inclusive, that means everybody. That means the black kids on that campus. That means the freaky kids on the campus. That means the straight kids on the campus. That means kids coming into your church that maybe have never, ever gotten your carpet dirty in your church before. I think that's one of the real implications of the touch ministry. And if we're not really willing to make that kind of move, then we really haven't understood what it meant when Jesus touched a leper. So this is another one of the principles when we're talking about the touch ministry. These are some of the principles. You can see them, meditate on them, think about them. And now let's get into some of the more practical things. One of the things I want you to see about the touch ministry is the plan for doing it. The plan for doing it. What is the plan? Well, the plan is that we would penetrate the entire community. Now, I don't know what your high school community is like, but the ones I've been around recently are sort of like this. It used to be that you could reach the athletes and the student government leaders and you'd have the whole high school campus. I mean, you could effectively share the gospel with the whole high school campus, and they would know something was going on by reaching the students and government leaders and the athletes. That's not true anymore. The truth is that you have all kinds of different factions on a high school campus. You've got the freaky kids, you got the dopers and the smokers, and you got the kids who get on the bus right after school and take off for home, and you've got the athletes, you've got the student government leaders, and you've got all kinds of different factions of people all around the campus. And the thing that has to happen is that we as a body ministry in this touch ministry thing have to begin to penetrate that high school campus at all different levels and at all those different factions. so that the effect of the gospel can reach a lot of students. See, and this is where the leadership family comes back in. You as one individual cannot do that. 15 years ago, maybe so. Today, no chance. But what it's going to take is very simple. And that is that you're going to have to develop this leadership family concept so that there are enough people reaching into the various aspects and the various factions on the high school campuses around you to be able to effectively reach the whole high school campus and community. Some of you have already raised the question with me. Boy, I've got more than one high school campus. What do I do? Well, see, it comes back to the same thing. You've got to have a large core of leadership that can be adequately trained to penetrate that high school campus and community. Okay, the people participating in the Touch Ministry, and this leads us right back to the leadership family, and you can begin to see why this part of this whole strategy is so important, the leadership family. Who's involved in touching the lives of these high school students? Well, it's housewives and businessmen and college students and single career people and little old ladies. See, when I was in high school, the person that I was closest to of anybody was my grandmother. She was 80 years old. She was the closest friend I had when I was in high school. A lot of times I think we forget the potential of various types of people to reach high school students. A lot of us have never even thought about using the college students who are around our community and who belong to our church to reach other high school, to reach kids who are just 2, 3, 4 years younger. Such enthusiasm for doing it. They don't know a lot, but real enthusiasm for doing it. And teachable. Okay, so what we're talking about here is reaching the high school campus with various types, with various age levels, with various groups of individuals, all going through a training process in which we teach them how to get onto the high school campus. Basically, adult leaders need 3 or 4 things. Let me just give them to you. First of all, the adult leaders involved in the Touch Ministry needed a desire to go where high school students are. Now, basically, this involves moving from one environment to another environment. It's almost like I've likened it to being on the foreign mission field, only you're schizophrenic about it. You keep coming back and forth. And those of us who are youth ministers have, we have to deal with this kind of world. I think a lot of times other people in the church have a hard time understanding how we're supposed to move back and forth, and sometimes we have a hard time understanding that. But to move into their environment. And you think for just a minute, some of you are sitting there thinking, I would be scared to death to move onto the high school campus where those kids are. Well, let's just turn that around for just a second. Let's pick up this kid over here who has never darkened the door of a church. He is just as scared to come onto your turf as you are to go onto his turf. And you're the one with the gospel, so it's our responsibility to move out of our environment into theirs so that they can know what we've got to share with them. All right. Another thing that adult leaders with young people need to have is a love for young people. A love for young people. Another thing that they need is a desire to understand young people. Another thing that they need is a desire to win the friendship of young people. Boy, that takes time. That takes time. And then fifthly, they need a desire to share Christ with young people. Don't have time to slow down. You want me to run those by you again? Okay. First of all, tell you what, why don't we do this? If you missed it, you can pick them up later. I'll let you have my notes. I better run back to them again. All right. A desire to go where young people are. A desire to love young people. A desire to understand young people. A desire to win the friendship of young people. And fifthly, a desire to share Christ with young people. And I think there are basically two dangers when we're talking about sharing. You've moved through in the relationship. You know it's time to share. I think there are two dangers there. One of the dangers is that you won't do it. You won't do it because of fear or lack of courage or whatever. The other fear is that you'll, the other danger is that you will overdo it and come on so strong. See, and there's a real problem there, because when you come on too strong in the high school community, in the high school campus, see, that is a very, those of you who are on the campus a lot, you know that it's a very closed community, and news spreads just like that. And you come along and overdo it with a group of kids, and boy, the news about you spreads all over the campus. So there's a real danger in overdoing it. So there needs to be that balance where you openly and naturally share Christ with people. How do you do it? Sensitively, boldly, openly, and lovingly. All right, now, very quickly, let's look at the preparation for the touch ministry, because this is where we get into the things that you actually need to do. One, you need to pray that God will open the way for a ministry to the school. We have seen God answer prayers on this just that are really exciting. Some of you are in here who have had prayers answered like that, where the schools were closed. You say, boy, our schools are closed, we just can't get in. Listen, let me tell you something. Out of our experience, I can say to you, God can open the school for you. All right? I think that comes in an answer to prayer. Secondly, you need to train others to get in the school with you. We've already talked about that in the leadership family. The third thing that you need to do is to know the school. To know the school. How do you know it? Well, one of the things that you can do is get a high school annual. You take the Avondale High School annual, where I work with some students there. Half the annual is football pictures and football comments. You begin to understand very quickly that school is very interested in football. So one of the, you know, you don't have to be real smart to figure it out. If you're going to reach a good proportion of that campus, then one of the things you're going to have to do is you're going to have to reach the people who are involved with football. And praise the Lord, He's opened the opportunity for that to happen. You can know the school by looking at the school newspaper, taking a subscription to it. It gives you one excuse to go over to the high school campus. One reason. Go over there to pick up a subscription to the school newspaper. You can talk to some of the students who are in your church about the school. Find out the size of it. The kind of people that are there, what the faculty is like. Talk about particular individuals. Get them to share with you, tell you what's going on over at the school. What are some of the events that are taking place? What are some of the things that the kids think are really important? You can interview some of the kids in your church about that. Another thing that you can do is, if you know a teacher there, sit down and have a conversation with that teacher about the school. In other words, you need to gather all the information that you can gather about that school before you go. You need to find out who the leaders are among the student body. I don't mean just the elected leaders, I mean the real leaders. Because there are a lot of them in all these different factions, there's a leader. And you need to find out who those are so that you can begin to pray that God will give you the opportunity to share Christ with those people. Know the school. And then the fourth step, and possibly the most important step of all, is to meet the principal. Meet the principal. Now what you need to do here, let me just kind of walk through this with you, because this is extremely important. I want to share this with you. You say, well, you know, I'll go to the school board. Don't go to the school board. I'll just go on the campus. Don't just go on the campus. The principal is the guy who runs that school. He's the one who runs it. And you know, he can say to go to the school board, or he can say whatever he wants to say, but the truth is, he makes the decision about whether you can be on that campus or not, 99% of the situations. So he's the real key, right? And if you're going to get on there, you have got to face up to him and deal with him. So you ought to start praying this week for him. Now, how do you get in there to talk to him? Well, I think basically it's a matter of doing this. Call him. Make an appointment with him. Once you've made the appointment with him, pray. Pray with some friends, pray with some other people in your church, pray with some of the kids in your church about this appointment. See, this can give them a real opportunity to see the way that the Lord will work. And they can really see answered prayer if you share this with them beforehand. So you go to the principal, you sit down in his office, and you begin to talk to him just about who you are, in what you're doing. And basically the conversation should run something like this. I know that you're really interested in high school students. And I want you to know that I'm really interested in high school students. And I know that you, a lot of times you find yourself in some really hard situations, and it's very difficult to be a principal. And boy, I just want you to know how much I sympathize with you and how much I really appreciate what you're doing here. And I've got a real concern for kids too. And I just came by here today just to tell you that I want to help in any way that I can. If there's any way in the world that I can help you to help these high school students, I love them enough that I'd really like to be able to do that. What do you think the possibilities are? And let him take it from there. And I think as you do that, you can begin to communicate to him that I'm here to serve you. I mean, how many people do you think have come into his office over the last 5 years he's been there and done anything but gripe? Very few. There are very few people who they may have come in there even neutral, but the percentage is real slim of people who have come in there and said, I'm concerned about the things you're concerned about. What can I do to help you? Now, this means that you will not go and ask for time to have a devotional before school or to have a Bible study before school. This means that you will not go in there and ask him for an assembly program. And all the things that you have initially thought to do when you get back home, you can all those. So that's what you were thinking, right? I never led a conference and spoken on this before where somebody didn't say, well, I got a great idea. I'm going to go back and ask that principal for some time for a Bible study before school. Drop it. Just go there to tell him that you're really concerned about those kids and you want to help them in any way. And the possibilities are tremendous. That he'll have some really creative ideas about what you can do to help him on that campus. And then be prepared to do some of them. Okay, let's go ahead and go on down through the list here, and then we'll come back for a couple questions, okay? Okay. Good illustration of my little talk here. Okay, that's great. Okay, that's right. Okay, pray for the kids that you want to meet. That's the next step. Pray for the kids that you want to meet. Whoever the leaders are, whoever the kids that God, as you look through that annual or look through that school newspaper, whoever the kids are that God impresses upon your mind as you go through that, it'll be absolutely amazing to you how as you begin to pray for those students, some of them you will not even know that God will really bring those people right into your path. I've had that happen time and time again where I've been praying for kids that I didn't even know, and the particular day that I was praying for them, I walked on the campus, or the particular week I was praying for them, I walked on the campus and there they were. And the opportunity was there for me to meet them. Okay? Pray for the kids that you want to meet. And then, meet with the school leaders. In other words, I would suggest that you make an appointment with the president of the student body. That you make an appointment with the captain of the football team, co-captains of the football team, some of the senior student government leaders, and just tell them what you're trying to do. You don't have to sit down and share the gospel with them or anything at that point. I'm not sure that that's really, that might be an opportunity. But just to tell them what you're trying to do there. And tell them that that you really want to help them in any way that you can. Okay? And then inform the law enforcement officers. Very important. Kerry Bates was in here. I'd get him to... Hey, there he is. You want to tell about that experience? Okay. Kerry almost got arrested for not doing this one time. when he was in his first year with us. A big bear type of character like him, you know, you can understand why he would get arrested. But he almost did, because he went over to the school and they were looking for a drug pusher that looked something like he looked. And the principal came out and almost called the police on him. And he should have informed, and the guy he was working with should have informed the law enforcement officers about him coming. Okay, that's the preparation for the touch ministry. All right? Now, very quickly, let's look at the process of the touch ministry. Consistency is the key. Consistency is the key. In other words, you'll find yourself going and being really excited about it for a while, but once you get on the campus and you're going there every day, you'll say, boy, you know, I'm getting tired of eating those corn dogs. Getting tired of eating those soybean hamburgers. And tired of listening to all that noise in the cafeteria or whatever. And so consistency will be the key. And when you're tired of going, just keep on going. Then have a reason for being at the school. There are all kinds of reasons that you can think of. You can think of any number of things, such as going to get a subscription to the school newspaper, going to pick up an annual. There's a particular person over there that you want to see. Maybe you've been praying about that person. So you go over to the campus and you say, I'm looking for so-and-so. Have you seen so-and-so? I'm looking for him. You can spend an hour and a half wandering around the school looking for this particular individual, you know. It gives you a chance to talk to a lot of students just as you're wandering around looking for that particular person. But have a reason for being at the school. All right? And then attend at least one school event each week, either a ball game, a pep rally, a talent show if they're having something like that, or could be in a particular assembly they're having that that they're interested in or you're interested in. You begin to get in on the events of things, when you begin to get in on these events, you're able to know what's going on and to pick and choose the kind of things that you need to be involved in. Maybe it's a cross-country meet, a baseball game, basketball game, could be any one of a number of things. Majorette presentation or drill team presentation or whatever it happens to be. All right. And then talk of the things that people are interested in. Be friendly. A lot of you are saying, well, I really don't know how to start a conversation with a high school student. You know, if I just walk in, I mean, what do I say? And it's real simple. Just give you one quick clue here. If you're wondering that, just begin to ask questions. Who are you? What are you doing here? Why? When? How? You can carry on an indefinite conversation for a long period of time with a high school student who says, yeah, no. Just by simply asking them questions. Now, that really works. And they begin to find out after a while that you're really interested in them. And the conversation will become more and more open. Also, you'll begin to find, too, that as you converse with high school students and you hang around some of the events that they are hanging around, you have something in common to talk with them about. The ball game last Friday night. What happened to this particular individual? What happened to that person? How this particular thing is going? What did you think of this event? So on and so forth. You know, and you've got some basis for conversation there. And then it becomes a very natural thing as you become a part of the high school scenery. Okay? Number five is keep going. I mentioned that a minute ago. And number six is keep meeting new kids. Your tendency will be just to hang around your kids, the church kids, the Christian kids, or a few kids that you've met. And the real key to this thing is to continue to broaden relationships. Continue to broaden your relationships across the whole campus. So that the kids who are pagan kids are not sitting over here saying, hey, look at all those Christian kids sitting over there in the corner, you know. And they don't want to have anything to do with you as a result of that. You want to be very careful to spend a lot of time in developing new relationships. All right, that's the process. Now, as you look at possible settings for the touch ministry, it's very simple what those settings would be. You and I could line the walls with places you could go. You can think in your own community, McDonald's, Burger King, cafeteria, lunchroom at school, ball practice after school, football practice, basketball practice, baseball practice, wrestling practice, cross-country practice, majorette practice, drill team practice. At our school, until 6 o'clock every night, there are kids hanging around. From 3:30 till 6 o'clock, there are kids at the school. Usually when you go over there at night, at 6 o'clock, between 6 and 7 o'clock, the basketball team arrives during football season, and they're practicing in the gym. You go over there early in the morning at 7:30, kids are hanging around in front of the school. You go over there during the day, there are kids out in the parking lot, you know, for all various reasons. And you can meet kids at about any time. And around in your community, there are various places where they go when they're not on the school campus, and you can meet them there. So there are all kinds of settings where you can begin to plug in. And you need to think through with your leader, yourself, where am I going to plug in? And then you need to say, okay, for your leadership family, you need to work out with them how you're going to plug in. Okay, now then, just a few practical suggestions here, and then we're going to go to our small group rooms and small group meetings. Postpone direct personal evangelism for appointments. Do not try to share Christ in the hallway when kids are coming up and down the hall and they're yelling and screaming and somebody's beating somebody else on the arm and somebody else is jamming somebody else into a locker and you're trying to share the gospel in this very quiet and placid atmosphere. See, it just really doesn't work. The gospel is too important to share in that kind of an atmosphere. And so it's really important for you to make sure that you set aside a time when you can get with that person in a quiet type of way where you won't be disturbed to share the gospel. Secondly, don't try to get school time or facilities. In other words, there's kind of a hump here. We talked about this a minute ago, but there's a hump there. And once you've gotten over this hump, they will offer you a lot of different things, a lot of different opportunities. You know, I've been at Avondale for 2 years working with the students there. Last spring, the opportunity came. They asked me to speak at graduation. 3,000, 4,000 people coming to graduation. Well, you know, I knew at that time I was over the hump and could probably do just about anything I wanted to there. Okay? Getting over the hump is really important before you ask for anything. All right? Look for ways to serve kids. Giving them rides. Picked up a black kid last year and took him over to pick up his football shoes because he left them just before a game. He wasn't even going to get to dress out unless he got his shoes. Just looking for simple ways to serve kids. Holding their hats during a cold football game. I've been standing around, had 40 different toboggans hanging off of me in different places, you know. All kinds of ways that you can look for to serve kids. Practice learning names. Boy, that's important. You walk down a hall and say, hi, Susan. And Susan doesn't know you, or she just met you one time. She's going to be impressed by the fact that you know her name. And she's going to say, hey, that guy, I really would like to get to know him or her. Practice learning names. Vary the times that you go to the school. Spend your time wisely at the school. Be yourself. Have a sense of humor, but don't cut. Be available. Be available. All right. I really honestly believe that the Lord can take the touch ministry and bring it to the place where you can begin to draw the net on a number of students who will be open to sharing the gospel and open to hearing the gospel. And through that, then the word begins to spread and kids begin to come to know Christ in a deeper way than they've ever known Him before. And your church begin to get excited because they begin to see this happening. And there becomes a real sense of spiritual awakening and revival and openness that's never been there before. I really believe the touch ministry can be the key to that when it's done and done correctly.